According to sources, there are five phases that the Muslim Brotherhood will use to Islamize America. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thanks for joining me. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and I'm Dr. Fred. We have been dealing with the issue of Islam as it blends, some say, with Christianity, creating something else called Chrislam. And last time we ended our episode by introducing the Muslim Brotherhood and the book Muslim Mafia. And the Muslim Mafia book details how the Muslim Brotherhood plans, literally, to take over America by turning it from within to an Islamic recognized government. In other words, they want to put into place the very things that will court Islam and recognize it and even treat it as a privileged religion or class. So according to the book, Muslim Mafia, the Brotherhood's plan to Islamize America consists of five phases. First, phase one, the establishment of an elite Muslim leadership while raising taqwa, T-A-Q-W-A, or Islamic consciousness in the Muslim community. That's phase one. Phase two, creation of Islamic institutions. The leadership can control, along with the formation of autonomous Muslim enclaves. Phase two. Now, phase three is the infiltration and Islamization of Americans or America's political, social, economic, and educational systems, forming a kind of an Islamic shadow state within the state. Escalation of religious conversions to Islam, manipulation of mass media, and sanitization of language that Muslims find offensive. That's phase three. Phase four, openly hostile public confrontations over U.S. policies, including rioting and militant demands for special rights and accommodations for Muslims. The fifth and final is what the author of Mafia, Muslim Mafia, calls the final conflict and overthrow, which is physical jihad. Now, years ago, not that many years ago really, people laughed at this whole idea, but what we see happening in America is really the very phases that the author talks about being implemented. And we see a lot of this happening, for instance, in Dearborn, Michigan, which has the largest population, over 50 to 80,000 Muslims concentrated in one area, the largest population in all of America. Now, it's important to understand that the Muslim Brotherhood is now in phase three, and they're moving toward phase four. That's what's happening in America right now. And patience is the key to their strategy. They're willing to wait 100 years, if necessary, to achieve their subversive goal. It's not going to take 100 years, though. Things are moving very, very rapidly. And if people like Jim Rickards have any truth into what they're offering about the economy, all it's going to take is a catalyst to cause the global economy to fail. And of course, that includes America. When that happens, there will be such confusion and movement afoot to regain some sense of stability that it's very possible, likely, that Islamic groups will use that type of confusion to further their goals. It's also important to understand that every major Muslim group in the U.S. is controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, that's a direct quote from Muslim Mafia. The information, by the way, is cited by veteran FBI agent John Guandolo, who continues by stating, quote, "It's not just a loose network of people sharing a common ideology, but a centrally controlled and directed insurgency. Now, that's really important for us to grasp. A centrally controlled insurgency. What does that mean to us, really? We need to figure out what that means. Because we're on the receiving end of that. We are being affected by that. He continues by saying, members of the group attempt to infiltrate the sensitive intelligence agencies or the embassies in order to collect information and then build close relationships with the people in charge of those agencies or institutions or establishments, unquote. Let me read that again. Members of the group, we're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, attempt to infiltrate the sensitive intelligence agencies or the embassies in order to collect information and build close relationships with the people in charge in these establishments. Now, as time has progressed, a number of situations have arisen that basically have allowed our government to determine the truth about Muslim Brotherhood's plan for this country, the United States. A secret U.S. Brotherhood charter was found in the possession of Brotherhood underboss and convicted terrorist Sami al-Aryan. Now, there is the case of Ali, the American Muhammad, a loyal member of the Muslim Brotherhood who emigrated from Egypt to spy for the Brotherhood in America. After failing to penetrate CIA ops, he infiltrated the U.S. Army as a sergeant and wound up at Fort Bragg, training with U.S. Special Forces, where he obtained a secret security clearance. This is all fact. Although not a Green Beret, he worked alongside the elite Berets, learning unconventional warfare and counterinsurgency operations. The military trusted him, and before long, he was teaching soldiers about the Middle East at the JFK Special Warfare Center, where unbeknownst to his superior officers, he was stealing classified military secrets. During weekends and other leaves, he would travel to New Jersey to train Al-Qaeda operatives in weapons and warfare tactics, which they would later use against the country Muhammad had sworn to protect as a soldier, the United States. After his honorable discharge from the Army, Muhammad moved to Santa Clara, California, where he set up a communication cell for Al-Qaeda while fronting as a computer engineer. In 1995, he brought Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri to California for a mosque fundraising tour, reportedly raising $1.2 million for the Al-Qaeda leader. A large chunk was raised at CARE founder Omar Amas Mosque in Santa Clara, a key Brotherhood hub. Ahmad is employed as a computer engineer in the Silicon Valley. Fascinating, isn't it? 5 years later, the feds finally got wise. Took a while, but they finally got wise to Muhammad. And after his arrest on terrorism charges, he pled guilty to 5 counts of conspiracy for his role in planning the Al-Qaeda bombings of the U.S. embassies in Africa. Now, the Muhammad case marked the first in a series of instances in which dangerous Muslim Brother figures have successfully penetrated key U.S. institutions. The book that I've been referring to, Muslim Mafia, notes that, quote, we are in a battle of life and death, in a battle of fate and future against the Western hegemony. What is needed is the dismantling of the cultural system of the West. Al-Aryan managed to penetrate the White House, along with his pal Al-Moody, before federal authorities caught up with him. That's amazing, isn't it? He pled guilty to terrorism charges, served time in jail, and is now under house arrest on a separate contempt for refusing to cooperate in the SAFA group investigation despite a federal grand jury subpoena. The author continues, the Muslim strategy for change within incorporates the secretion of loyal brothers into political office, warns former FBI Sadla. Groups like CARE, MPAC, MAS, the Islamic Institute, and the American Muslim Alliance have aided this project. Some recently founded AMT, American Muslim Task Force on Civil Rights and Elections, to promote candidates into public office, and not just at the federal level, but state and local levels as well. He continues, Kares Ahmad landed a position on the Santa Clara City Library Board. He was a trustee for 10 years while CARE launched its so-called library project, successfully targeting some 8,000 neighborhood libraries across the country with packages of books, videos, and other brotherhood propaganda that sanitized Islam, unquote. Now, all that's pretty interesting, and that's fact. It's fact. It's something that people can deny, but the truth is there. The Muslim Mafia book continues with information on additional situations perpetrated by loyalists to the Muslim Brotherhood. Quote, in Fairfax, Virginia, a Muslim traffic engineer who works for the county recently testified on behalf of the radical Islamic madrasa run by the Saudi embassy during heated discussions and hearings over the school's expansion. His testimony, with an outpouring of 600 Muslim supporters, helped the academy win approval for its plan, even though it has been cited by the U.S. government for promoting violence and intolerance through its textbooks and has acted as a breeding ground for terrorists, graduating even Al-Qaeda operatives. You know, while the Muslim Brotherhood is outlawed in other countries, and not so long ago Egypt outlawed them, the U.S. has not yet designated the group a terrorist entity or foreign threat, even though it has stated clearly that it supports violent jihad and is dedicated to replacing the U.S. with an Islamic theocracy. And yet we don't classify this group as terrorist. We don't outlaw them. It happens because of the current administration. Juan Zarate, former chief of the Treasury Department Terrorist Finance Unit, said this, quote, the complications of dealing with the Muslim Brotherhood is that they operate their business empire in the Western world, but their philosophy and ultimate objectives are radical Islamist goals that are in many ways are antithetical to our interests. They have one foot in our world, one foot in a world that's hostile to us. How to decipher what is good, bad, or suspect presents a severe complication. After the 9/11, federal investigators noticed most leads traced back to the Brotherhood. That should tell us all we need to know. Unquote. Further, we learned that in 1981, the NSA was founded as a nucleus for the Islamic movement. Excuse me, that's the ISNA, not the NSA, pardon me, was founded as a nucleus for the Islamic movement in North America. Now the umbrella or organization for the Brotherhood controls several front groups and hundreds of mosques and schools. It was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terrorist trial, ending with a conviction in March 2009. While CARE employs more notoriety and is more visible in the media, ISNA is more venerable and ingrained in U.S. society. So they have a little bit of a veil over them. Well, I thank you for joining the show today. Thank you for listening to me, and I hope this has been beneficial to you. We need to learn all we can about radical Islamic groups. Well, until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.